Our scripture reading this morning is Romans 12, 9 through 16. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. May God add a blessing to the reading of these words.
Well, happy Father's Day to everyone. It's good to have you all here today, and I hope our dads feel especially blessed as we worship God together. Now, you're seeing me with a cane. I'm graduating each week from having hip replacement surgery, and today is the first day that I get to be back with you preaching, but not in the pulpit because I'm not quite ready to be in the pulpit yet. So I brought all my stuff with me. You know, I started out with the walker, and I graduated to the cane, and I used the shower bench. And the only thing I didn't bring with me that I'm using at home is the toilet seat. But let me tell you something. After you've had hip replacement surgery, everybody needs a toilet seat. I'm just saying. And, you know, thinking about this whole experience that I've been through, I wanted to share a few things with you because, you know, it's amazing to me. Y'all know I do worship planning and sermon series planning and themes and all that kind of stuff a year in advance. So who in their right mind would have thought when I planned to have a sermon on broken today that I would literally be coming back from being broken? I didn't know I was going to have hip replacement surgery a year ago, but here we are, and I'm thankful to God that I get to be here with you today because through this experience that I have been through, it has given me some insight perhaps that I would not have had otherwise, so I'm grateful to be here with you. Now, one of the things, I got to tell y'all this story real quick, that in getting ready for the surgery, I really wasn't worried about it or anything. I figured it had happened. I heard wonderful reports about it and all that kind of stuff. Most of them were positive reports. But anyway, Ron said to me about a week before the surgery, he said, "Susan, I really do want you to come and watch this video of the procedure." And I said, don't know about it. He goes, "Please just trust me." And he said, "If you will watch it all the way through, you will be glad that you did." And I said, "Okay." So I turned on the thing. Y'all, I was horrified. I was shocked at what I saw. I had no idea. I mean, I knew they had to get the bone out and they had to put something back in, but I didn't know the amount of sawing and cutting and banging with a hammer that was done to the poor woman's body that she was going through. And I was almost ready to get up. He said, stay. And so at the end of the surgery, 2 hours later, the woman was getting up and she was walking. And then about a few weeks later, she was meeting with the surgeon, and the quality of her life had totally reversed because she had gone through her brokenness. And so I just want to share that story with you because what happened with me when I watched that video was it rose my fear, in other ways it reduced my fear and it gave me hope. And so today, as we are talking about the theme of brokenness, I want to encourage you to do the same. That in facing brokenness, that we might have the opportunity to have less fear and have more hope. So will you pray with me as we prepare our hearts? Loving and gracious God, we do give you our thanks today for your amazing grace and abundant life and hope that you give to us through your love. I pray, God, that as we reflect upon both scripture and experience, both our personal experience and our experience with you, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you, O God, you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, well, so like I said, today we're going to be talking about our brokenness and about how facing it can help us to have less fear and more hope in our lives. But I want to begin by revisiting our scripture today from Romans chapter 12, which in my Bible has the title to this section, The Marks of a True Christian. So I'm going to invite you to read out loud these words together. They'll be up on the screen. So let's read this together again. The marks of a true Christian. Ready? Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Now, I have to say, after reading that passage of scripture, it made me wonder, am I a true Christian? Because to be quite very honest with you, there are many times I do not live up to that image of a true Christian. How about you? But I am grateful that Henry Nouwen reminds us of this, that there are no perfect Christians. Amen? No perfect Christians. Amen? That we are all broken. It is what it means to be human that we are broken. In fact, Romans 3:23 reminds us that all have sinned and what? Fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. And so, as we encounter our brokenness, how do we respond to it? And here are some of the ways, I'm just going to name some ways that either I or people that I know often respond to brokenness. First of all, and probably more often than not, we deny that we have pain. We deny that we have brokenness. Because what happens when we come to church on Sunday? How you doing? And everybody says, I'm doing great. How are you? How many of us share really what's going on? We deny it more often than not. We just fake it until we make it. You know, we have that kind of idea in our head that we have to be something other than we truly are. Another one is that we push through our pain. My husband is one that does this. He deals with chronic back pain, and he says, I just got to push through. And I keep saying, honey, it's going to come a time when you can't push through anymore. You're going to fall. But we push through. Sometimes we fill up our time so much that we don't have to think about it. So we get busy. We find things to distract us. And Henry Nouwen says something about the root of the word of distraction is absurd. That's the root of the word distraction. And so we do that. Sometimes we isolate ourselves from others when we're going through times of maybe depression or pain. We don't want others to have to deal with it with us, and so we isolate ourselves. Some of us also self-medicate so that we can be dampened to whatever's going on in our lives. And that can happen in lots of different ways. Lots of different addictions we have, including our cell phones, playing games on my cell phone. I mean, there's things that we can distract ourselves with that keep us from engaging with our brokenness. The bottom line is that we respond to brokenness by refusing to go there, but here's the irony of that. We get stuck whenever we do that. Henry Nouwen says that real living doesn't happen when we respond to brokenness in this way. And so he suggests two different ways in which we need to respond to brokenness, to embrace it and to put it under the blessing. So let's look at that. First, he says we need to have the courage to embrace our brokenness. Don't deny your brokenness, he says. Instead, identify it and admit it. How do we do that? Because lots of times we don't really know what's at the root of our brokenness, do we? And so part of the thing that he says that we have to do is spend time with God, spend time in prayer, spend time in silence so that we can hear and get in touch with our bodies and with the pain that we may be carrying, whether it is emotional, physical, or spiritual, and hear what God would say to us. That quiet time also gives us the courage and the faith to dare to put our brokenness under the blessing. Now, I have to tell you, when I first heard Nouwen say this, put your brokenness under the blessing, I really didn't know what he was talking about. And so I had to really think about that and research that and listen to him talk more and more about it. And so what Nouwen is talking about with putting the brokenness under the blessing is, you know, a lot of times when things seem to be going pretty well in our lives, we don't pay much attention to God. We just think, we say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you I didn't get hit by a bus today, you know, whatever. But when we are going through brokenness, that is that time when we have an opportunity to really engage spiritually with God, right? But we can do it in two different ways. We can do it under the curse or under the blessing. What is the curse? When we say, why is this happening to me? Maybe I'm a bad person. Maybe God doesn't love me anymore. Maybe God is judging me because I have not done what I was supposed to do. Nouwen says that is the curse, and that will keep you unwell. It will keep you broken. It will keep you from being whole. Putting the brokenness under the blessing is hearing these words. You are good. You've been created in my image. I am in love with you. You are my child. You are blessed. You are in favor of me. And when you and I will put our brokenness under the blessing, that is where God can transform the brokenness into something beautiful that can be used and lived out in our lives. So, I would like, I've just got notes today, y'all. I'm just doing this thing. Okay. Here's what I need you to know. Here's what I need you to know. And I say this all the time, but I really want you to hear it. God does love you and you and you. God loves you. And there is absolutely nothing you and I can do. There's no depth of lowness or brokenness that will ever be able to separate you or me from that love. And when you can get that and receive that blessing, that blessing can break the chain of captivity that your brokenness has put on you. And speaking of that, that leads me to a song I was hoping we could have sung today, but it didn't work out. But it's a song called He Holds the Keys, and it's by a musician named Steve Green. It was put out sometime in the 80s, I think, and it was a very powerful song that I have listened to many times in my life. And it's basically about Christ on the cross and overcoming death and breaking the chains of all that are in captivity. But it has this bridge, and these are the words to the bridge. And And it says, and to all the things that have kept you away, that keep you defeated day after day after day, the heartache that nobody sees, that eats at your soul like a cruel disease, he who sets the captives free, it is he who holds your keys. He who holds your keys. Now let me say this. Embracing our brokenness and putting it under the blessing is not an automatic fix in your life and in mine. It's not something magically happens. It's not all of a sudden that all the brokenness is going to go away. But it sets us on that pathway toward wholeness. That's a lifelong journey, y'all. We're not going to all get there until we go to heaven. Amen? But I want to be getting there along the way. Amen? And experiencing that freedom that comes when we know that we are not under a curse, that we're under an incredible blessing, that God is always at work in our lives. And those marks of the true Christian, as we are doing this work, become more and more evident in your life and mine. And so, as we come to this time, I want to promise you this, and I highlighted this, so I'm going to read this one. As you are willing to have the courage to name and embrace your brokenness, not under the curse, but under the blessing of knowing that you are the beloved of God, you will begin to see a change in your life. And here's the beautiful truth. It is a process that will lead you and me closer to those marks of being a true Christian. And through the marks of our brokenness, y'all, I got a scar, 5-inch scar that's here. And through the marks of the brokenness that are in your life and in mine, we are covered by the blessing of God's love.